Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Show. Of course, I was in my normal spot. At least I don't have any stories about, at least that would rival what John was on this morning as far as the golfing, the drinking, actions by the golfers out there that may border on, let's just say inappropriate. I don't have those because as soon as the show was over, I packed up and went home. So I don't have those. Sean was there a little later. Maybe you had eyes on some of the alcohol infused activities, but I did not.
Yeah, I just a quick one, and funny you mentioned John Granato. He plays a part in this. We were doing the show, kind of. They moved us because that's where they where you did the morning shows, where they did the scores and all that.
Yeah.
And John did the
MC.
Yeah, the MCing, and
with all those Coors Lights in them.
It's a tradition, Del.
Unlike any other.
Truly, probably unlike any other golf tradition.
I know Jim Nantz says that, but I've got a real example.
Yeah. So they moved us out by like the bar because you could hear the mic on our headset, which would get John Granato immediately fired.
Sure.
And so as people are coming out after the thing, they're streaming out, leaving. John comes with two Coors Lights in his hands, and Brian and I think that he walks.
You think he's about to offer them to you?
I thought maybe he was.
Have you met this man?
No, and apparently not.
Not a chance.
But the way he was like presenting them looked so much like you were gonna he was gonna offer a drink.
If it was me, I would have assumed because he does this because he knows I don't drink at all. But for a person who he knows might take it, there's no chance.
He, like, held him out and, like, set one down on the table as, I guess, he was, like, getting something else. And then he picked it back up.
Of course.
But he walked up, just talked to us while we're on air.
Oh, yeah.
As one does.
He's not going to care about that. No.
And, yeah, I was like, oh, thanks.
So what are you saying thank you to me for? What are you talking about? This is mine.
Yeah.
I'm saving one for, 10 minutes from now. So, yeah, the occasional the occasional invitational, we try to do it occasionally, as the name says. And it was
accomplished.
A fun time. Thanks to everyone involved. From the Coors Light, Coors Light that you just heard about.
That I had to watch John
you didn't get the partake at that point. He teased you with the Coors Light and decided, nope, these are for me. And then Brown Bag Deli, I took part in their turkey sandwich. Thumbs up to that. And they got a nice cookie as well. I was gone by the time Valencia started serving, but I heard they offered a great spread. So thanks for everyone involved. And hopefully we can continue to help out kids' meals when we can. But as far as what happened after that, we got the benefit of an Astros rainout cool. Didn't have to deal with the potential disappointment. We got a doubleheader. Before this show's over, the Astros will be starting their game against the Orioles, and then they'll have a second one. So 11:35, first pitch there. But the star of the show, well, at least the team star of the show, was the Rockets. They get a win. A win I didn't think they would get. Everything felt like this was going to be the gentleman's sweep, at least for me. Other people felt differently. So certainly credit to AJ, who filled in for Sean yesterday, and also John Granato. They both thought the Rockets would win, and they were right. It was a scrappy game. It had all the things that we see from the Rockets. Spurts where they're not playing very well, but their defense and intensity can keep them in ball games. And there were some surprising shot making at times from Amen, who knocked down a couple corner threes. You had Dorian Finney-Smith make a couple corner threes. And in a game where you don't break 100 points, threes are raised. The magnitude is raised when it's 99-93 the final. Any shot you make, like Aaron Holiday's three was big. He made a runner in the second half that was big as well. And it's just they're playing a different brand of basketball than you see in the rest of the series, outside of maybe Detroit and Orlando. They had a couple bad games that mirror what the Rockets were on against the Lakers last night. But for the most part, you go 1-for-4 from three, you're like, oh, okay, sure. Okay, you knocked down a shot. But when Aaron Holiday knocks down a shot in the second half and it's his 1-3 made, and he also had that runner I mentioned, a 5-point spurt from Aaron Holiday in a game where all those possessions are at a premium, you can call him a big contributor to the win. So they got just enough from everybody, got big performances from Jabari Smith. He became a bit of a national story because how dare he suggest that his team is better. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday. They had not proven that they were the better team. Certainly more, you would say even, certainly before Austin Reeves came back, the more talented team, but they had not done enough to say as a whole they were better. Now, if you just look at it over the course of five games, the Rockets have been, look, I'll give the Lakers the first half of game three. They were the better team. The Rockets better team up until they blew it. So you'd probably say over the course of five games, the teams have been relatively even. As far as how the games have gone, the Rockets controlled game four, they controlled game five, but we also had the inevitable. Are they going to blow this? It was the inevitable. And you could kind of see it coming because they got up to 11. I think it might've gotten to 13, but it was around 11 at one point. And you're like, can they extend this? Can they do what they did in game four and make this a game where the Lakers capitulate and start pulling their guys? They could not. The Lakers ratcheted up a level that we had not seen maybe since game two, or at least the final stages of game three, particularly in overtime, where the energy picked up. LeBron decided to take over. And, you know, I'm not here to give advice to the Lakers. Who's looking for them to win this series? But if you're the Lakers, you know what you should do? Don't allow Marcus Smart shooting variances early in the series to make you think he should hold the ball in his hands. I'm going to play something from Shams because he dropped something about the historic nature of the Rockets' win yesterday. But I think he should take into account the Rockets' sixth starter, Marcus Smart. If I could have him be the initiator of offense for the Lakers on every possession, I would love it because he passes the basketball like he doesn't understand that these possessions are at a premium. This isn't a game that's going to get to 120-115, where if you're throwing an entry pass at an awful angle and it gets picked off, it won't matter. His carelessness with the basketball was a big part of why the Lakers only scored 93 points. But here's Shams, an update on Kevin Durant to this morning, which lets you know how far away he is from coming back, and also the stat he mentioned regarding what the Rockets starting five did yesterday.
Well, Greeny, sources tell me Kevin Durant will be out for game six. He's not going to be playing, so he will have missed five of six games so far in this series. He's dealing with a bone bruise in his left ankle. We know he dealt with a tendon bruise that sidelined him for game one, but this bone bruise is a two-week minimum injury. He's just over 1 week right now, so Houston's going to rely on that young core that they have. They've had pretty much full control of the last three games. They could have easily won game three, obviously. And you think about it, Amen Thompson, Reed Shepard, Tari Eason, Jabari Smith Jr., Albert and Sengun, I have a stat for you. They're the youngest starting five to win a game in NBA playoff history.
Wow.
And the quartet of Thompson, Reed Shepard, Sengun, and Jabari Smith, they're plus 29 in this series.
Thank
and
you,
so I think the onus.
The youth of the Rockets is showing through, but I would put a little asterisk and go, this over 30 player for the Lakers is helping them quite a bit, helping the Rockets quite a bit. Get the ball out of Marcus Martin. I know Austin Reeves didn't start, but he wound up playing big minutes. I imagine he'll be back in the starting lineup tomorrow night. Look, he wasn't great. You can expect that because of his time off. Just if you're JJ, the one thing I would tell him, let Austin Reeves and LeBron handle the playmaking duties. Marcus Smart is too high of a variance in games like this where you can get a moment or a game where he shoots the ball well, but you also get these where he's not a proficient shooter, and then you get the mind-numbing turnovers in a game where breaking 100 wins you the basketball game.
Yeah.
Get him out of there. But from the Rockets' perspective,
yeah, JJ Redick.
Keep letting him initiate offense.
Yeah, it was a classic, like, Marcus Smart has won the Lakers, I'll give him two games in the series because game three, he was huge. I forgot if it was game one or two. I think game two was the, like, 5-for-5 from three game for Marcus Smart. Game three, obviously, hits a big three, or gets fouled shooting a three late there to lead the comeback. I'll give him two wins for the Lakers. You can kind of give him one win for the Rockets as well this series. And that's the Marcus Smart kind of experience. And I think, you know, it's oversimplifying to say this, but it is like really a big difference. Is just, especially in the games in Los Angeles, it's just like the Lakers shot like how we expect this Lakers team with the guys on the court to shoot. And in the first two games of the series, they shot way above their heads. And that's the difference between like a 6-point win the other way. Basically, it's a 12-point swing. Is Marcus Smart and Luke Kennard going to send you packing? Or, you know, the Rockets the last 2.5 games, really, have been able to make Luke Kennard pay for being on the court. How dare he be on the court? And they've been able to play him off the court with defense.
It's insulting that he actually would step foot on the court in a series of this magnitude.
It is a little insulting that, like, it took half a series to be like, oh, yeah, that guy.
I don't think he'll be starting in game six.
And Austin Reeves isn't like...
He's not going to go 4-for-16 either. I mean, got to the free throw line.
Oh, yeah,
times,
and on defense for the Rockets, like, it shouldn't change your game plan. Like,
no.
He's not Tayshaun Prince out there. Like, he's still Austin Reeves come back from injury.
You certainly can attack him.
I
was on track to give some credit before I got distracted by telling you how bad Marcus Smart is and how beneficial he is to the Rockets. But as far as the actual players in the Rockets who you can certainly applaud, Jabari Smith, chief among them, beyond the words of, hey, he said they're the better team. Okay, whatever. He said it, and we'll hear from him, and he explains more about what he meant by that. But his willingness to take shots and knock them down and just play an overall really good basketball game. He goes 22-7-3. And Albert Sengun didn't get a lot of shots up because the Lakers wanted to force him to be a playmaker, and he responded with 8 assists, did have 5 turnovers. So that's part of the math there. But I wonder if they will try to make him more of a scorer because DeAndre Ayton's big enough and strong enough to keep Alpi from getting to his spots and just forcing him to take more contested shots, because if you allow him to make passes, the Lakers' off-ball defense, they'll turn their heads, they're ball watch. Guys were getting back cut, stuff like that. There are opportunities for the Rockets to find easy buckets thanks to the Lakers, even though it was their intention to make him a passer. I don't know if all the synapses fired, because there are plenty of times guys are open. So it was a game that I don't know if I was watching good basketball. I just know it was important basketball, and that changed my viewpoint. And to watch the young players, you heard the stats from Shams, watch the young guys come together for a second consecutive game and bounce back from the disaster that was the end of game three and win a game, does more for me than anything Kevin Durant would have done to pull them out of the fire. Because whether all the guys are back next year, if they don't come back and they have to make changes, or some guys get traded away, you're finding some answers. If Kevin Durant was available and healthy and he was dragging you through a series just because he can knock down a shot at any point, and you win a tight series with the Lakers while they're banged up because Kevin Durant's the best player, I don't know what that does for me if I wasn't seeing these moments from the players. The Reed Shepard moment in the fourth quarter will be something people remember. LeBron's on one. The Lakers are within three. He bumps Reed coming back after a layup.
Bush League.
I mean, Eric Spoelstra's like, been there. Been there.
Yeah. Do you think he texted him?
Hey, Reed, look.
You responded way faster than I was able to.
Look, it took us the course of the season to bounce back from that bump. We made the finals, didn't win it, won it the next year. You got your get back pretty quickly, like, with that steal.
Next down the court.
And Eric Spoelstra's also saying, well, this is 41-year-old LeBron. I could have handled it.
I had him in his prime.
In his prime. His apex. Yeah. And I was a young coach. So, yes, Reed Shepard, Eric Spoelstra now have something in common.
Yeah.
But he makes the jumper on the next possession off the pick and roll and then rips LeBron, goes in for the dunk, and that gave the Rockets real breathing room because they were teetering. It felt like, are we going to watch the Lakers close them out after seeing the Rockets pretty much control this game from the first quarter on? And we were getting to that point until Reed Shepard did what he did. So he has his moment. I mentioned Jabari being a guy who was the best player on the floor. Amen made a couple big threes while he didn't shoot the ball well overall. And I don't know if I want this to be something where it pushes him to take more, but the Lakers are going to play him a certain way to know that he had the ability and the confidence to knock down a couple big shots. Cool. And Tari had a nice night shooting the basketball, at least overall. Didn't shoot the ball that great from three, but he played well too, despite maybe the plus minus. So there's still some moments you're like, Tari, please. But overall.
Yeah, you got what you want from a young core.
Yeah, your five young guys, five first-rounders, won a game in L.A. were, for all the world, except for some staunch Rocket fans, for all the world, we thought this series was ending in five, and they're extending it to six. And now we start to see Stephen A. Smith this morning. I think the Rockets are going to push this to seven. We've got, of course, Perk, who is now called the Lakers the second dumbest team in basketball. He still holds the Rockets as the dumbest team, but he said either last night or this morning that the Rockets now have a partner. It happens to be the team they're playing in the same series. The Lakers are now the second dumbest team in basketball. So he thinks that
in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Nets exist. The Wizards exist. Yeah, thank you.
I get what he's saying.
That's a prop. He might have even said it. Okay. But I think he said dumbest team in basketball.
I think he said the league. Yeah.
But that's a proper note. Because there are dumber teams rolling around.
We just don't watch them.
We just don't care because they stink. They are now grouped together as the two dumbest teams in the playoffs, thanks to Perk. And now we got a game six on Friday night here in town. So all credit to that team for finding a way, getting contributions along the eight guys who actually played last night. And we will see. Will the pressure be on the Lakers or the Rockets? We can certainly talk about that at some point as we move closer and closer to that game. We've got a new extension for a prominent Texan that we will get into. More money that the Texans found to give to one of their guys, which brings in the focus, a certain hesitancy it feels like to give money to a quarterback. Hey, everybody else can get a deal. You got to show us. That's what it feels like. So we'll discuss that. Ryan, I see you. You got an early hold through the break. We'll get to you and anyone else who wants to join us. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll get to Ryan. We'll hear from Jabari Smith when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Ryan. He held, and then through the break in that first segment, and then we'll get to Jabari Smith, who had the comments that went viral about how he believes his team is better. He expounded on that after the game. Big performance for him, big performance for that young group. And we got a game six, but let's get to Ryan first. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, sports to you, Deli Belly. What's going on, Mapers? Hey, I would have called into the morning show, but I know y'all don't take calls at the last segment. But why don't y'all turn Judge John into a weekly segment? Do you think you would get a lot of heat, or would it just be funny? It was funny. Thank you, guys. Later.
So we, if you missed it, at the end of the show, we did a, it's part of News is Weird, but it was the only story we did. There is a scandal involving a J.P. Morgan exec and her male employee where they were involved in what you would say is a relationship that he deemed non-consensual, where she forced him to do things. She said things to him that no one wants to hear about themselves or people close to them. And now there's an impending lawsuit. If you know anything about John, when these stories or something a little light, a little more light comes up, there's always a question of what would Judge John do? And it always devolves into what's the woman look like? So that is what Zach, that is, I was thinking about Zach Krieger, the director of the new Resident Evil movie. That is what Ryan is referencing. And could a Judge John movie, segment do numbers? I think it would. But would it get overexposed? And by overexposed, what I mean, would we get to a point where he says something or that renders all of us in real trouble? We would have to treat it with kid's gloves. We would have, there would need to be someone involved who goes, eh, not this story.
Yeah.
You would need that person in the room that goes, are you guys sure about that?
The editing team would be crucial.
Would be very important.
Yeah, I mean, we have a gavel in there. All you need's a judge robe, and you know, we have the props.
Yeah, I think people would enjoy it, but there would be no real surprises. It would just be a test of we would just have to figure out, does John think this woman is attractive or not? That would be the only real suspense. And then if he hit her with a big sentence, as opposed to probation, oh, John doesn't think very much of this woman. That's how
it is. Just like, it is the commonest thumbs up, thumbs down of your appearance. Yeah. So I mean, there's probably some legs to it, you know.
So I think there's been
worse ideas.
Yeah. I mean, certainly. I think that one would go. It just would need proper editing. It couldn't be live.
No,
we do a live version every now and again, and I got to be the one who goes, hey, are we sure about what you're saying now? If we wanted a full-on show, we would need to put someone in that spot. And someone with the right sensibilities.
Yeah, and Granato would have to stay past.
Which is also a problem. Well, he could do it from the comfort of his home in L.A.
He'd have to stay because 10:04 Central.
Yeah, there would be golf on the horizon at any point. He's not going to be here tomorrow because he's got golf to play. Mm. Raheel Ramzanali will be filling in for John tomorrow because golf needs to be played. It wasn't enough on Wednesday or Tuesday where he played golf. Friday, more golf. And then 2 weeks, golf. So he won't be with us.
Busy schedule.
Yeah, if you want to put golf on a schedule during the middle of a work day, your schedule could get busy. So there it is. Thank you for the call, Ryan. Let's get to some serious matters. What happened last night? Let's hear from one of the stars of the Rockets Game 5 win. That's Jabari Smith. He made those comments. People are like, are you sure? And here's him after the win talking about those comments and what he was trying to say.
I mean, it's just like a mindset to have. You know what I'm saying? I don't care who we play. I don't care what team I'm on. When we was winning 22 games, I'd probably say we're the better team every night. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a mindset to have. I mean, people are going to take it how they want to take it, but I don't care whoever I'm with on the court. I'm going to think that my team is better than the other team. So it's just a mindset. But you got to get on the court and prove it. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say it and then come out and tuck your tail. You got to get out there and fight and do the things that it takes to win. So I'm going to stand on that statement, and we just got to keep proving it.
Certainly didn't tuck his tail. They got a big win, and I'll ask you, Sean. I said on the show in the third hour, previous show that Kevin Durant saving them. I think I said it early on this show too. Kevin Durant saving them doesn't matter to me. If he was around and he was the reason they won the series, it doesn't mean very much to me because, sure, it's expected, but it's a first-round series against a hobbled Laker team. What does it say about your young core if they're leaning on him to survive? This version of it, even if it ends in 6 or 7, makes me feel better about them. If you continue to get good performances, if you trick off game 6, okay, then we have a different conversation. But if you battle and the Lakers just make shots and you lose a close one, but you see the continued evolution, and it's certainly a short time span from game 3 to game 4 to game 5 to game 6 and maybe game 7. I'm thinking to myself, when I started talking about this series when it first began, there wasn't a lot of proof that this young group had what it took in a playoff series to respond. They have shown the last couple games, even you want to throw in game 3, how they at least played in the second half before the collapse, that they can respond to adversity. They can have moments where they can go bar for bar. They can play at a level, at least intensity-wise, where they can match and respond to adversity. I'm more happy about a potential long series loss than some series where Kevin Durant proves he's the best player on the floor and they take it in 5 or 6, which was my prediction to start a 5-game Rockets win. How do you... What's the balance here? Of course, you would love the comeback. And if Kevin Durant had played, maybe you're not even more games. Maybe you're not even in the spot. But if he's the one saving them versus them saving themselves, even if it doesn't end in a series win, which one means more for them?
Yeah, I mean, the sound we played from Shams earlier, where was the starting lineups, the youngest starting lineup, or second youngest, whatever it was, to win a playoff game together, and they've won 2 now, and you know, like all, every conversation about the series pretty much won game 3 but gave it away at the very end. Like, it is something where I mean, even if you just, like, you know, one of the shots from the Lakers rims out like it did last night, where Lakers kind of got the same quality, or actually probably got better quality looks late in that game with like a minute left, and they just missed them all instead of LeBron making the one after stealing it from Reed, and Smart making the 3 free throws after stealing it from Jabari. It's like the young core has like actually proven its like its existence, you know? It's proven the like, oh, okay, like this is, you know, we're not going to have, I think you can still like wonder, but you're not going to have the like, you have to consolidate this in some way. You have to like actually be on the Kevin Durant timeline, and I'll jokingly call it the Kevin Durant and Fred VanVleet timeline. And
I don't even think that's a big joke, honestly.
Yeah, no.
Considering how this season was
shaping
and how people were talking about it. Yeah, so I wouldn't even disagree with that if that was a serious talking point. So game 6 and happens, and maybe it changes my opinion. I don't like every game in a series being a referendum on a build or a player, because this series, now that it's going 6, we've been talking about a lot. It's been, when did this series even begin? We're talking 2 Sundays ago? When did it
start? Saturdays.
Two
ago.
Saturdays ago. So yeah. we're already in the midst of several going into a full second week of doing this. And is that long enough to make a real determination? No, but you would still like to see what we're seeing from this team. And does it end in 6? Does it end in 7? And in the Lakers' favor, that will be determined. But I think going forward, I'm going to have a different view of this team and these players because of what they've shown over really now more of the series than not. Because we're now going into a game 6, and they've played pretty well for 3 out of the 5 games.
I think after game 4, the series like total score was like within a point or so, which makes sense because it probably should have been 2-2. Like, it should have been that. And now they, what, won by 6. So it's like they have like, they're on aggregate, they are, you know, winning more, or, you know, they have won more than they've lost this series, or at least by more than they lost this series. But yeah, I mean, it is it's not just like the how they're playing that you're getting, you know, good performance from Jabari, you're getting good performance from Tarius, and even like, you know, just the two made threes from Amin Thompson, you're like, oh, okay, like this is happening. It is like what you want to see, and you can't like knock them for showing you what you want to see. And you know, in back-to-back years, you go down big in this series. Go down, what was it, 3-1?
Yep.
Against the 3-0 Warriors, here, 3-0 yeah. against the Lakers.
And no back down, no
yeah.
no and, saying, okay, this is over. And we're so, done
like,
here.
Just from like a, you know, makeup point of view, it's like, that's what you want to see. Like
it appears they have the right yeah. stuff now.
Skill can they figure it out on
now,
the basketball?
Skill level and all that other stuff and cohesion and offense of identity, all things that may still need another, whether it be this series and next or another season
yeah.
To fully flesh out. But you know, at least the guys you have on your roster,
they're not going to go out sad.
They're not going to go out in a way and go out like a lot of teams do, where it's like, you know what? We're done here.
Yeah. Hey,
the offseason is something we're looking forward to.
We got game four. Like, we saved some face. And, you know, with that, we respectfully bow out.
And even last night, they were down big in the first quarter. And I felt like.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Like this was going to go in a way that yeah. a lot of these series go, where the home team comes home for game five and puts you away. And that's how the series is going to end. Instead, they at least got back in it late in the first and then had a dominant defensive second quarter. And that carried into the third until the Lakers made their run in the fourth. Keith wants to join us. We'll get to him when we come back. Anyone else, you can certainly follow 713-780-3776. We'll hear from Ime about the growth of this team. And then we'll certainly take more calls when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to Keith here, and then we'll hear from Ime, and then we'll talk to the Texans. They made a move. An expected one. We had talked all offseason about their linebackers being on the last years of their deals. Well, they changed that for one of them. We'll get to that. But first, let's get to Keith. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. We've got six NBA first-round series going to a minimum of six games for the first time in 12, 13 years, something like that. Just curious, you know, which team down 3-2 do you think has the best chance to win the series? And also, like, is LeBron really the GOAT if his team is the first team ever to squander an 0-3 lead in a best-of-seven series? Like, we might have to just squash that GOAT conversation if he blows this to a Rockets team without Durant. And also, the Lakers are surely going to start Austin Reeves in game six, right? Thanks.
Okay. Keith, do you know what show this is? Does this show seem like it wants to entertain GOAT conversations at any point? I know it's a staple of talk shows across the board, TV, radio. But this show, you've listened to it enough. You call in semi-regularly. At any point, did this show ever give off the impression that we actually cared about it? Or if LeBron's team loses a 3-0 lead, that it would actually become a conversation? Sean, maybe we've given off the wrong impression. Do you think we've given off that impression that would be a topic of conversation we would care about?
No. This show hasn't, but you know, people are talking. I mean, the lead up to this series was that, you know,
Durant's were on the line.
Durant's legacy was on the line.
Yeah, and we
little do we know it's actually LeBron. Jabari Smith's legacy. That's kidding.
Yeah.
And those two possessions by Reed Shepard.
I saw
that was big legacy.
I did see the aura being used for Reed Shepard after he did what he did. So I know it's part of the conversation, but I don't know that we have ever put it out there that we would care about that.
I will say, and I have it. I had it bookmarked for different reasons because I thought we were going to play it on the afternoon show yesterday, but maybe we can either play it on today's show or if the Rockets come back from 3-0. But Nick Wright said on his show that, He was like, I'm 100% confident the Lakers are going to close this out because there's no way that LeBron is the first, is on the team that blows the 3-0 lead first. Just keeping that in my back pocket, all right?
Yeah, he's a little less confident. I saw a clip, but he remains steadfast because he doesn't trust the Rockets, which is fair. Which is a fair opinion.
That's the thing where other 3-0 deficits, like, you can kind of start to believe because the team that's down 0-3, like, I mean, the classic example is the 2023 Heat-Celtics series, where it's like, yeah, no, the Celtics, like, should win these games. Like, they are, I mean, shout out Jabari Smith, the more talented team. And, like, if they, you know, stop pulling their, if they start to pull their head out of their ass.
Like, once it got to.
Don't let Caleb Martin send you packing.
Yeah, if you remember back to that series, beyond the fact that they had a big lead in game one and blew it, and then they lost game two, Miami blew them out in game three.
Yeah.
But game six, they controlled throughout. And then they, much like the Rockets do at times, they blew a fourth quarter lead and wound up down one after they fouled Jimmy Butler on a 3-point attempt. He knocks down three, and then there's a missed shot by, was it Marcus Smart? Was he on that team in 2022?
23, yes, he was.
So he misses the turnaround jumper, and Derek White tips it in. So once you get to an elimination game or game six, you start to look at the roster, and if you ignore all the historical stuff, you go, yeah, they should win game six and seven. They're better.
Yeah.
But it just plays out in a way that most of the time you don't even get to a game six. So the Rockets have already done some things that are trend in their favor, but no team has ever been able to finish the deal.
And that Celtics team went to the finals the year before.
Yeah.
So, like, the and had been the play, you know, made deep runs the years before that, too. So they had a little bit more pelts on the wall, a little bit more, like, and again, the talent gap was, like, such that they are, like, they really shouldn't be down 0-3 at any point to this team, but here we are, and the Rockets aren't quite that.
They're not there yet.
They're not, like, even in their wins, like last night, like, they won by six, but it was touch and go. Like I said, the Lakers got more looks and better looks to make threes to really put the game in, you know, pucker mode, but, like, they just missed them.
Yeah, to answer your other question, or the big question that I will actually entertain.
Jordan's the GOAT, yeah.
No, not that. Oh. The Nuggets, if you're asking me, down 3-2 has the best chance of coming back. The Nuggets, because the Wolves are without their best player.
Yeah, it's like not the sexy answer. It's not like, you know, I'm seeing through the matrix. I'm looking through the noise, and it's like, well, they have two starters that are hurt, including their best player and a top 10 player in the league. Like, that's going to be tough to overcome, but I will say, when you're up 3-2, and that's why...
It was up 3-1, yeah.
But yeah, 3-1. That's what makes these comebacks, like, so difficult, is that, like, the Nuggets just can't have the Jaden Daniels, Ayo Dosunmu, like, lights-out game in Game 6 or whatever. You know, like, you're just at such peril of, like, BS sending you home, and it only has...
The Wolves can't miss, and now you're going home.
And it only needs to happen once. Yeah. You know, like, so... Same thing with the Rockets. All that also applies to the Rockets, although the Lakers are getting more healthy and not less healthy. It's just, you know, if Marcus Smart doesn't trick off that game single-handedly, instead plays like he did in game two and three, like, you go home last night. The margins are thin.
Yes.
But that's what you do when you lose a game, when you're up six with 30 seconds left.
You put yourself in a spot where, while you don't have to be perfect, you can't survive an outlier shooting performance again. You've already done that the first couple games.
And
you can't have it happen again.
Yeah, regression is coming your way now. Like, the past two games, I saw something where, like, the shot quality for the Lakers is actually, like, improved since the first three games of the series. They're just shooting way worse on those shots where it's like, they're shooting way over their heads in game one and two. Now it's kind of coming back down, and these games are, again, and I do think the Rockets are doing a better job on defense, like, not giving up, like, system buckets and just, like, easy duck-ins and things to the Lakers. But that is a natural thing when you play the same team six times in 2 weeks that, like, okay, you're going to start picking up on what they're running, especially a Lakers team that can't run much because their two best players are hurt, except for last night where he came off the bench.
And the question will be, you talk about all these percentages going one way or the other. Well, Austin Reeves, instead of going 4-for-16, go 10-for-16 and and knock you out in the game.
Yeah,
six,
well,
because he has a great night shooting the basketball in his second game back. Because that happened with Embiid. Embiid was off his first game. Second game, he was the best player on the floor.
And the margins for the Rockets have been so slim. I mean, I guess outside of game four, where it's like that just would just change the game if you get, like, you know, real Austin Reeves.
If you get an Austin Reeves game that is comparable to what he has shown, well, against the Rockets in previous games and also just over the course of his season, that could be the swing, unfortunately, because you put yourself in a really tough spot.
The whistle he gets.
Well, yeah, he got to the free throw line. Well, it's the Lakers whistle. It's his whistle. It's the Lakers whistle.
It's just like a double whammy of it's been a while since I've locked in on an Austin Reeves game. Obviously, he hasn't played this series, and, you know, in the regular season, I'm not as locked in as I was. I was like, man, I forgot. I forgot how Austin Reeves gets down. It really shocks you. It's obvious-esque.
A stark reminder of the way Austin Reeves, the whistle he gets for whatever reason, he gets it.
I think it's the hair. I think it's the floppy
you
hair.
Think the floppy hair gets him?
Yeah, and then when you whip it back, it looks like, you know, you just get so much hair going that it, I think that and the fact that he's wearing a Lakers jersey. Again, that helps.
And speaking to my prediction of the team most likely to come back down 2-3 or 3-2, Ayodele downgrade is a questionable because of his calf today. So if he's not playing, all right.
If you're a Minnesota fan, I'm sorry. I would like to apologize. I didn't do anything.
You didn't really do anything.
But like,
you want to apologize for the injury gods and what they're doing to them?
Yeah, like I'm pouring one out for you because, man, that sucks.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Like the last time he was in your building, he had the Ayodele game, and now he may not play as he's been downgraded to questionable. All right, I said we would get to the Texans. We'll do that to start hour two. They made a big move, extended one of their core pieces on defense. We'll talk about that when we come back. Look, they love giving out money to certain guys. We'll get to that in the second hour.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.